Today I want to look at a few verses that Paul wrote to a small church in Rome, and in attendance are converted Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians. And I've asked Julia if she'll read the scripture for us this morning.
Romans 1, 8 through 17 says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve with my whole heart in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness. How constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times, and I pray that now, at last, by God's will, the way may be open for me to come to you. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I planned many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I have had among the other Gentiles. I am obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel all to you who are at Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith."
Thank you, Julia. Just a commercial. Since we're not able to take a lot of trips, I want you to take a trip with you and me, and it'll be in our minds. So if you will think back to when you were in high school or junior high, and I want you to look around in your mind, and I want you to see how many different social groups there were. In the high school that I went to, there were four or five. There were the jocks, the nerds, the greasers, and the po' folk like me. There was also this rich social group. And they had the latest cars. They had the latest clothes. They never rode in the orange or yellow car that we rode in. Their parents brought them, or their friend brought them. This rich social group was depicted by a song by Dobie Gray. Now, some of you think, "Art, I don't know who Dobie Gray is," but if you'll think... You might remember. It's about the in crowd. He called it the in crowd. "I'm in with the in crowd. I go where the in crowd goes. I'm in with the in crowd, and I know what the in crowd knows. I'm dressing fine, making time. We breeze up and down the street. We get respect from people we meet. They make way day and night. They know the in crowd is out of sight." As the song portrays, you ain't cool unless you're in the in crowd. It contained the beautiful people, or at least they thought they were beautiful. And sometimes we wanted to be in that in crowd. In 2015, Echo Smith sang a song called "The Cool Kids." "I wish that I could be like the cool kids, because all the cool kids, they seem to fit in. I wish that I could be like the cool kids, like the cool kids. I wish that I could be like the cool kids." Kind of repetitive, isn't it? "Because all the cool kids, they seem to get it. Whatever it is, they get." That's not part of the song. I threw that in. "I wish that I could be like the cool kids, like the cool kids, like the cool kids, like the cool kids, like the cool kids." Look it up online. They do it better than I do. This group contained people who wanted to be, you might have wanted to be seen with. They thought they had respect. They had what you might call cool currency. And other groups wanted to be around them. The other group contained, which I was part of, that other four groups. The cool group thought, "Well, maybe we're a little backwards. We're embarrassing. Our clothes didn't look cool. We liked different kind of music than they liked. Some of them liked country, and I can't understand that, but that's what they liked." The cool group was too embarrassed to be with the other groups. Sometimes they had to be with other groups because if you were in biology or if you had a science class or you had a chemistry class, you sat at one of these big tables that had stools on them and you had a partner. And sometimes your partner was one of the cool groups. But outside of that class, they didn't want to have anything to do with you or talk to you. They were really embarrassed by you. They didn't want to be seen with you, especially in their social group. My point is, the way of the gospel is not the way of the world. The way of the world is this. We want to spend time with some people. We do not want to spend time with others. We want to talk about some things. We don't want to talk about others. Some of our friends we are proud to be seen with. But there are times in our lives when there are certain people we are embarrassed to be seen with. Into which group do we put our relationship with Jesus? Glad to be known by him, be associated with him, or embarrassed to be associated with Jesus? Today I want to focus on two verses, verse 16 and 17. Okay. Verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes. First for the Jew and then for the Gentile. There it is. For in the gospel a righteousness from God is revealed. A righteousness it is by faith for first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Paul puts himself in the category, I'm glad to be known and seen with Jesus, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not worried about what the cool group thinks or the in-crowd group thinks. I don't care what the Pharisees say, the scribes, the local government, or those who are influential in towns that I visit, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. If we could speak to Paul, he would probably tell us, I'm ashamed of a lot of things that I've done in the past. If you look in Acts chapter 7, there's the stoning of Stephen. In Acts chapter 8, the first verse says, and Saul was there and giving his approval to his death. I'm sure if you ask Paul, he would say, I'm ashamed of being at the stoning of Stephen. I'm ashamed about the things I said in public and privately about Jesus before my conversion. I'm ashamed about how I felt about Christians. I'm ashamed about my attitude. But since I've met Jesus, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Now, if I get too loud, just say. And you know what that means? Talk louder, Art. That's what that means. And I'm one of those amen kind of guys. So if you feel like saying amen, preach it, brother, or anything along those lines, I'm all over that. So amen. There you go. You can say it more than once. Okay. Why would Paul make this statement right in the middle of the first chapter of Romans? For I am not ashamed of the gospel. It just seems to come out of nowhere. Paul believes there are Christians in the church of Rome who are having a hard time communicating this simple gospel message to a sophisticated people in what is really the capital of the world, Rome at that time. This is the message they must communicate, a message of a carpenter who died as a criminal on the cross some 2,500 miles away, almost 25 years ago. He declared himself to be the Son of God, and the message that this carpenter would give them eternal life if they believed in him. In a sophisticated society at that time, he believes, Paul, that they might be having some difficulty talking about this simple message. Paul believes that the Roman church might be intimidated by a sophisticated people who lived in Rome. Paul is saying, I have made a conscious decision. My decision is resolute. I will never be ashamed of the gospel, despite the number of towns I've been thrown out and everything that people are talking about me, from Athens to Corinthians. I will never be ashamed of the gospel. I will never be ashamed of Jesus. If I'm ashamed of the gospel, aren't I ashamed of Jesus? Can I make that deduction? Because Jesus is the gospel. I will never be ashamed of Jesus. This is a message of Almighty God. It is a message of God's love and forgiveness. It is a message of reconciliation between God and man. Why would I ever be ashamed of that? It is a message of what God has done in the past for me, Paul is saying, and I will never be ashamed of that. The gospel has radically changed my life. Here's what Paul said. He writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. This is a faithful saying worthy of all exception, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, whom I am chief. I am the worst sinner there was. This message is the power to change lives. Paul's saying, look, I'm the worst sinner there ever was. I'm the chiefest of sinners, and he changed my life. Why would I ever be ashamed of that message? What would cause me to be ashamed of that message? When I think back what my friends and I were doing before I was saved, they're still doing that. God has rescued me out of that lifestyle, me and Celeste. Why would I ever be ashamed of that? Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. I'm the chiefest sinner, and he saved me. And look what I did, and I am ashamed of that, but I'm not ashamed of the gospel that radically changed my life. I was the vilest sinner. I was self-centered. When I am ashamed of the gospel, when the gospel has become shameful in my life, it means I'm embarrassed by the gospel. Why would I ever be embarrassed? You know, when I think about this, why would I ever be embarrassed by this message that God gave me that changed my life? That's what Paul's saying. Maybe some are embarrassed because they can't communicate a gospel message because of the way they're living, and people will ridicule them and say, I didn't know Christians live like that. And so I could perhaps see where you might be embarrassed or ashamed because you're not living. But Paul's living the gospel. He's writing these books or these letters to people that helps them in their Christian life. He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. I want to tell other people about this wonderful message. To be ashamed of the gospel means that the powerful message that radically changed you and me is not as dazzling or is not as awesome as it once was. To be ashamed of the gospel means I deny the Holy Spirit's work. I have no power as a Christian to bring a message when I'm ashamed. When I'm ashamed of the gospel, I'm a Christian who not only denies others the powerful message, but I become a Christian who lacks the power of the Holy Spirit that's been given to me free because of when I got saved. Also, being ashamed of the gospel can mean there's something more going on in our lives, or maybe we're struggling in some area. When we're ashamed of the gospel, we let others bring a watered-down gospel message or some other religious message to that person that I could have brought to them. Look at what's happening in the world today. If there's ever a time I should not be ashamed of the gospel, it's today. The world needs Christ more than ever today. When I'm ashamed of the gospel, there's no gospel witness, at least for me. There's a book out called The Postmodern Christianity by John Riggs. Sold a lot of books over in Europe, read by millions. It had a major impact of also the churches in Europe. The main premise of the book is that the society has changed so much that belief that the general public used to believe, they no longer believe. There are just certain doctrines that people will not believe about Christianity and the Bible anymore. So the book says that in order for Christians to reach people, in order for us to fill our churches, we must throw out much of the teaching that we once clung to. Give me a break! The idea is not to fill the churches. The idea is to, command from Christ is to fill the kingdom. There's a big difference between the church and the kingdom. Filling the kingdom means there's more people in heaven. That is our responsibility. As a byproduct, you might get more people in the church. And that would be okay because we have the fellowship of believers here. And what a wonderful time that is. The praise this morning was great. Do you know in California now you can't sing in church? I mean, what kind of deal is that? And so John Riggs writes this book. Don't preach about the blood of Christ, about hell and sin and the wrath of God. Don't preach about that. Preach about the love of Jesus. Well, I believe in preaching about the love of Jesus, but there's also more to the gospel than just the blood of, just the love of Christ. All we need to do is emphasize love of Jesus. That's what the book says. That is a dangerous heresy. And it is a watered-down gospel, if you could call it a gospel. There is nothing threatening about that message. It distorts the gospel message. The gospel tells us we are sinners and in danger of the wrath of God. As Pastor Pete preached over the last few weeks. By the way, if you see him here today, he's supposed to be on vacation. That's really probably just a hologram, so might have trouble shaking his hand. People need this, the simple gospel, without watering it down. Jim Simula is the pastor of the Brooklyn Tabernacle Church in New York City, and he's a well-known speaker. And many times his friends ask him to speak at their churches across the USA. And he said in a message to a number of pastors, sometimes these ministers where I go to preach, they speak to me before I get on stage and say, speak an easy message to the people today. Or don't mention the cross or the sacrifice or Jesus' blood when you preach. For the early church, that would be tantamount to being ashamed of the gospel message. Because without the cross and the blood of Jesus, we don't have a gospel. Do you think for one second Peter, Paul, and John would ever preach that kind of message? No. You cannot bring a righteous message to people and be ashamed of the gospel. This righteous message is not a message from man. It is a message of God reaching down from heaven to you and me saying, listen, you're living in darkness and I have a way for you to get out of that darkness. It is a righteous message. It is a message from Almighty God. God is speaking to us. Can you imagine that? I have sent a light into your life. Go and tell other people about it. When we water down the message, we are essentially saying we are ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are more interested in what people want to hear instead of what God wants to proclaim to them. When you and I are not ashamed of the gospel, we bring a powerful message to them. Can you believe this? Paul is, he's high up, it said in his religious society as a Jew. And God brings a message to him. And he said he was the vilest of sinners, and it radically changed his life. And because it changed his life, you and I have many of the books of the Bible that we can rely on to understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's a powerful message that radically changed someone. A righteous message, how sins can be forgiven, how we can live a changed life. Not only can our lives be changed, but how do we live after that? That's a powerful message. Now, it seems like Timothy might have been on the verge of being ashamed of the gospel. Because Paul writes to him in 2 Timothy 1:8, and he says, "Do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join me in suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God." In verse 12, he says, "I am not ashamed, for I know the one whom I have put my trust. And I'm sure that he is able to guard until that day what I have entrusted to him." In 2 Timothy 2:15, he invites Timothy to that same standard. "Present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed." And so Paul is detecting maybe Timothy might have a little bit of shame here and can't communicate a gospel message to the people around him, and he's trying to encourage him. That's my job this morning, is to try to encourage you, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. It's easy, because today people will just hammer you if you want to talk to them about Christ, and they'll say all kind of things. I got one warning for you. When you go to talk to someone, never engage a crowd with the gospel, unless you're really smart. They can ask more questions than you can have answers to. My suggestion to you is engage them one-on-one so that you can speak directly in their lives. I've tried that other. You look foolish. I've been foolish looking because I stammer. And you might think, that's pretty unusual for you, Art. You talk a lot. I mean, matter of fact, you can talk the leg off a brass monkey. And I'm surprised that you can't answer all their questions. Well, I can't. So that's just a little warning. It's free. It's not in the message. Well, that's good. Thank you. Hallelujah. Celeste, did you count all those amens? You should. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't water down the gospel. Listen to what the message says. This is it's a paraphrase. And so I like it sometimes. This is what it says in verses 16 and 17. "It's news I'm most proud to proclaim." Are you proud to proclaim the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ? This extraordinary message of God's powerful plan to rescue everyone who trusts in him, starting with Jews and then right on to everyone else. God's way of putting people right shows us in the acts of faith, confirming what the scriptures has all along said. The person in right standing before God by trusting him really lives. There is a powerful statement there. When we trust Christ, we really start to live then. This news, this good, I'm proud to proclaim this. This good news you and I should be so proud to proclaim. Proud and happy about the gospel. Proud that our sins are forgiven. Not bragging about them, but proud that we responded to the gospel message. Proud that God has given me a new direction in my life. Proud that I'm in the family of God. I have all you as a family. Some of us know each other better and some don't, but we're a family. Proud that God has made me a person who can freely speak. They can't shut you up unless they put Quaker tape over your mouth. That's about the only way, but that you can still think about the gospel and pray for those people. Proud of the message of hope even for the lost. Proud of the message of comfort that I can bring a sorrowful world today. If there's ever a message we should bring, it is this message of Christ. There is nothing more sorrowful than watching Fox News all day long. Amen, brother. Who am I that I should be ashamed of the message of Almighty God? I should be proud that God has confidence in me to deliver an eternal message. This is an eternal message that we have received. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. Milton Cunningham, former chaplain of Baylor University in Waco, Texas, was on board an airplane, and seated next to the window was a little 7-year-old girl with Down syndrome. Her parents were seated behind her. After a while, she turned to Milton and said, "Do you smoke?" And Milton says, "I don't smoke." And the little girl said, "That's good. My mommy says you shouldn't smoke." Then she pointed to the businessman who was sitting on the aisle and says, "Does he smoke?" Milton Cunningham was naturally a bit embarrassed, but wanted to humor her and said to the man, "Do you smoke?" And the guy says, "No, I don't smoke." And the little girl listening to the message says, "That's good." There followed a little bit of a pause, and then a few minutes later, the little girl says, "Do you love Jesus?" And Milton replied, "Yes, as a matter of fact, I do love Jesus." "That's good," she said. "Everyone should love Jesus." Then it dawned on our hero, suddenly realized that he was going to ask the guy next to him, "Do you love Jesus?" So he said, "I try to squeeze down in my chair." Hope that she wouldn't say it, but she did. She said, "That man next to you, does he love Jesus?" So Milton said, "I swallowed hard and turned to the businessman sitting next to me, and I asked him." And the man said with a tear in his eye and a reply, "I don't know Jesus, but I've been wanting someone to speak to me about that." And Milton said, "I led that businessman to Christ. For I am not ashamed of the gospel." That little girl, she's not ashamed of the gospel. She has Down syndrome, and she's not ashamed. The question is, are we ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? This message is for everyone. It says first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. That just means everyone on this planet, that message of the gospel is for them. Period. Paul says in verse 14, "I am a debtor under obligation by God to preach the gospel to all people." I am a debtor. I owe a debt I can't pay. That's pretty simple. There's a song about that. I'll tell you, if Bill Gates gave you $1 million and said, "Go tell your friends about what you have received and then send them to me, I'll give them $1 million. You couldn't get off Facebook, Twitter, your phone, email. You'd be telling everyone. Jesus Christ has given us eternal life. How much more should we communicate that to other people? We're talking about eternity. You know how fast you can spend $1 million? If you spend $1,000 a day, it'll take you 3 years to spend that $1 million. If the government hadn't taken their share first. Assuming you had the million. Christ has given us eternal life. Shouldn't we communicate? $1 million really isn't a lot of money these days. I mean, I'd take it, but. I am a debtor under obligation to communicate a message. The question is, am I ashamed of the gospel? Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel." This little girl says, she's not ashamed of the gospel. 7 years old. The message of the gospel is a righteous message from Almighty God. Who am I not to communicate this eternal message from Almighty God? Who am I? What are they going to do to me if I say, do you know Christ? Now, there's ways of talking and communicating the gospel. I'm not saying that we should be obnoxious about it. But we need to communicate that message. It is a righteous message. It is a powerful message. It is a message that radically changes people. I should never be ashamed of the righteous message from Almighty God. In the past, you might have had some shame. Peter, remember on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he was a little shameful, but he made it right with God. If you find yourself maybe feel that way, talk to God about it. Say, look, God, the next time, I'm really sorry I didn't communicate that message, or whatever, I denied you, whatever that is, the next time I will do better. Help me. You might be thinking, Art, this is a nice message, a little hard, but no. Or it might be, so what, Art? I want to give you some action points. What's a message without action points? It's just a so what message. So I thought, what can I do to give them some action points? First thing is pray and ask God to help you to share the message with others. Remember, not in a big group unless you're really intelligent or sharp. Hold it a second. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, the gospel drawer, but I'm in the drawer, and that means that God can use us. You don't have to be the sharpest. You just have to be usable. You have to use the right knife. Butter knives do not cut tomatoes very well. I don't know if you know that. It squirts juice all over the kitchen. You only have to do that once to realize that's not the way to communicate the gospel message. Sometimes you get out a butter knife. It's not the way. But I'm in the drawer. I'm not the sharpest, but I'm in the drawer. Jesus said, go out in the highways and byways and compel them to come in. So the responsibility for us is to go. I don't remember the last time somebody came around my recliner as I was leaning back watching NASCAR or something, say, hey, can you tell me about the gospel? Our job is to get up and go. People don't come by the sofa and say, hey, can you bring me a message? Jesus said, go out in the highways and byways and compel them to come in. So that's our responsibility, is to go. You go where people congregate. A couple of weeks ago, the ball field down here where, which direction? That way. That way. The ball fields were packed. Every field down there had either T-ball, Little League, I don't know the other leagues they have down there. Packed. There's a place where you can go to meet other people. You don't have to pound them with the gospel, but you can at least meet them. If you don't meet them, you can't give them a message. So the responsibility for us is to go. You go where people are congregated. How about the town meeting? We have once a month in the town of Lanesville, they have a meeting. I go to the meeting. Is James in here? I'm not so much in. James Powers is on this select board or whatever you want to call it. And so they talk about a lot of stuff. I'm not really interested in a lot of stuff, but I'm interested in the people who are in that meeting. And so now I've met some of those people. Now I know them on a first name basis. The next thing you can do is start praying for them, and God will give you opportunities to bring that message. What I like about that town council meeting is they pray before they start. They do the Pledge of Allegiance. I'm thinking to myself, where am I? North of the Mason-Dixon, you don't do that. South of the Mason-Dixon, you do. It's a great place. You can share the gospel. Walk in your neighborhood and meet your people. Remember, Mr. Rogers, it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. It's a beautiful day for a neighbor. Well, get out there and sing that song. I'm sure they're going to haul you off if you're singing that down the street. But you have an opportunity to meet some people. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. If the school's open again, go to the junior, senior high sports games. The other day I went to down to the track, and they were running a little bit of track, and I just sat there and watched them. If they have basketball again in the future, you can go to those games. There's lots of people there you can meet. You can go to the library board meeting. Well, there's a challenge, isn't it? Library board meeting. How about activities? I see that there's activities down at the Heritage Center. There's still every night somebody shooting off fireworks at around 11 or 12 at night. I could get down there and meet them. They probably wouldn't like it the way I met them at 11 or 12 at night, but they're shooting off fireworks. At least I could get down there and greet them. When you go to a restaurant, and this is what my brother-in-law taught me, Bill Schmidt. He said to me one day, we went out to lunch, he said, Art, why don't we pray for the waitress, ask her if she has any prayer requests when she comes to the table to take our order? And I'm going, So he asked her, and she had a prayer request. A couple weeks later, we all went out, different families. He said, Art, why don't you ask him? I'm going, We asked him, the person had a prayer request. On Saturday, I was in Cracker Barrel by myself, had breakfast. Amber was the waitress. It said Amber here. I'm assuming that's Amber. I said, Amber, do you have a prayer request? I'm going to pray. I don't always do this. I don't want to tell you that I'm super spiritual all the time, but when God says something, you want to follow. This is simple. I said, Amber, do you have a prayer request? And she says, yes, I do. I had a miscarriage, you said, in the early part of this year. And I want to have a baby and I'm pregnant. Would you pray that this baby comes to full term? I said, yeah, I can pray for you. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel. We can do simple things to bring a gospel message to people. She really wanted to have that baby. You and I need to know that God has given us a message that we should never be ashamed of what God has done in our lives, what he wants to do in other people's lives, how he wants to change them, how he wants them to enjoy heaven with him, how he wants them to live a different radical life now, not dependent upon drugs, alcohol, and a whole bunch of other things that they're hooked up on. God wants to change them. And you and I have that message. And our message should be, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Find ways to communicate that to people around you. Ask God to help you. This is an eternal message that you and I need to communicate, and they desperately need to hear.